Praise the Lord. Thank you guys for coming out tonight. We're going to, how many were here on Sunday?
Yes, hallelujah.
And I obviously didn't get through my message. And so tonight we're going to wrap that up. And then Sunday I'll be ministering again. And we're going to kind of go into another, kind of goes along with what we're talking about now, but we're going to start something different, weathering the storms of life and walking through the dark valleys. You know what I mean? So that'll continue on Sunday, so make sure you come back again on Sunday. But for tonight, we're going to conclude with what we were talking about, Abraham and Isaac. And we left off with, because Sunday service was really good, and listen, we study, we prepare, but when the Spirit of God wants to move a certain way, we didn't receive the offering yet, or we did? Oh, we did. So one of the ushers will get it from me, that's fine. Get that guy's offering. So we were talking about, and we saw, well, first of all, we did have a move of God, and it was awesome. So, but we talked about Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice that that God was requiring of Abraham, and we looked at Abraham's obedience. And kind of, I was looking back through my notes to see kind of where we left off with, I think I was talking a little bit about, towards the end, about idols in our life. You know, and how some things like that. So we're going to pick up. There were like a couple more points that I just wanted to conclude with tonight. So the story we all know about Abraham and Isaac and what took place, and what you can see from the story of Abraham and Isaac was the willingness and the obedience that Abraham displayed in a request that God gave to him to give up, sacrifice his son. You know, and there's things that we can learn from the story, and those were some of the things that we talked about on Sunday. But tonight, I want to just give this point here that we should hold lightly what we value greatly. Amen. Hold lightly what you value greatly. And it kind of goes against normal human reasoning and thinking, but when we hold lightly what we value greatly, because it doesn't belong to us anyway. You see, and when you know, finances is one area. You know, God gives us the ability to increase. He provides us with our jobs, and you know, it takes money to live, and God knows that. But when we're free with our giving, God honors our obedience. You see, and obviously Abraham sacrificing Isaac, he was willing and he was obedient, and he was holding lightly what he valued greatly, because Isaac was a promise. Isaac was a promise, God promised, and he said that the seed would come through Isaac. So Abraham knew a couple things that, you know what, if this is the way it's going to go down, God is either A, going to provide another offering, or he'll raise Isaac from the dead. And that was the highest point of faith in Abraham's life. And in our own lives, when we get to the point in our life where we'll begin to hold lightly what we value the most, God could do things in our life. We come into this life with nothing, and we leave with nothing. Sometimes we hold on to things because we don't want to give them up. And we don't want to give them up for, you know, there's so many different reasons. And the fact that we don't give things up, it stops us from becoming what God really desires for us to be. And it stops us from fulfilling God's will for our lives. You know, and we hold on to things out of fear. We hold on to things. We hold on to things because we can't see in our own mind, well, if I get rid of this or I give this up, how is it gonna happen? How many have ever had to give something up? And you know, it was like prying it out of your hands. But the minute you gave it up, I don't want to use the say that you may have been happy giving it up, but how many felt free afterwards? You know, it isn't necessarily, it's not a happy thing at the time. Over time, you become happy, but the immediate response is more like, well, I guess I'm free of this now, you know, and so be it. But so we need to learn that we need to hold lightly the things that we value greatly. And for most of us, there isn't simply one crisis kind of a moment in our life. It's a continual letting go. You know, and for me to stand up here, I know in my own life what it is that God deals with me about. And for each one of us, we have things that it's a continual thing. We get up in the morning, we pray, and you know, it's always right there. It comes running up in your heart a little bit, and God dealing with us about letting certain things go in our life. It's not a one-time deal, because the enemy always comes back to remind us of what we let go, and he'll paint some kind of a picture that looks like you're forfeiting something, and then we end up getting tempted to reach back and try to go look for the thing that we let go already. In God's word, he's telling us to let those things go, and that's something that we have to do on a continual basis. And when you look at that with Abraham and Isaac, Isaac was very important to his father. You know, that's the most incredible thing. You know what I mean? Really, none of us are really willing to give up our kids. If some of you maybe want to give up your kids, but really willing to give up our kids if God asked us to, you know? But if we, and you know something, I really believe that, see, when God has your heart, he has you. You know, and a lot of times these things that we go through in life are more of a test. You know, and I believe that God, he tests us in those areas. You know, because how could God trust us with more if we can't pass like little tests in our life? You know, and if we're having trouble giving up some, and you know, I'm not saying that they're little things, but whatever it is in our life that's keeping us kind of bound, you know, we end up becoming prisoners to certain things in our life. And I'm not talking about bad things. All right, I'm talking to believers in here who are living right. But sometimes good things could become idols in our life. So let me preface that. I'm not talking about giving up bad things. You should be giving up bad things. All right, if you're a believer, those things pollute us and they discredit our witness as believers. But I'm talking about good things even, you know? And those are the hardest things to give up, because we reason in our mind, well, you know, that's a good thing. I'm able to, you know, look at the things that I could do with that. But if the thing possesses us, then that's not good. You understand? We need to, and I was saying this on Sunday, that, you know, I'm pastoring right now, and I don't plan on doing anything different. However, if God says something different, we need to be willing to go with it. No matter how comfortable and no matter how good we get at what we're doing, if God says, okay, you've been good at that, now we're going to do this. Are we going to dig our heels in and say, well, God, look, I'm this is good. And he's going to say, yeah, it is good, but this is going to be better. So that's what I'm talking about. Hold lightly what we value greatly. You know, no matter what it is, and I'm just using myself, but no matter what it is that you're doing in life right now, don't have the mindset that this is, you know, I'm good at this. This is what I'm going to do forever. And that's it. We need to be, and I'm not saying that God will ever ask you to do something different. You know, whether he does or he doesn't, we need to be willing when he does. And I can guarantee if we get willing, he'll ask you. You know, he'll ask you. That's when you'll get the nod. And at that point, we have to be willing to give up what we're doing and do what God's asking us to do. Because how many know that when to obey is better than sacrifice? You know, and some of us, we've learned that the hard way. I know I have as well. And we make up excuses why we shouldn't or why we don't need to necessarily stop some of the things or give up some of the things that we're doing. But when God says it, we just need to develop the mindset that if God says it, I'm going to do it. That's it. I'm not going to question it. It kind of takes the pressure off of us. And that's the maybe not so happy, but the freedom. You know, and knowing that, you know what, if God says it, I'm doing it, and that's it, you know? And it seems to be a lesson that we all have to learn over and over and over again. And that's okay. That's okay, because God is patient with us. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient for us. You know, but, and this is another message that I really want to start talking about as well, the different seasons in our life, and there are different seasons to our life, you know? And when you know when things just don't feel as rewarding to you anymore, things that you used to do, you know, and that's because God's grace to do that might not be there anymore. Amen. You know, and that's when you got to start checking your heart and saying, all right, God, what is it that you have for me to do? You know, and that's not just to say never be committed to anything, because that's, you know, we don't want to stay in the middle of the road, right? We don't want to get in a ditch on either side of this, because then there's some people that just fly all over the place. And how many know that if you keep pulling a plant up, it'll never grow? You have to stay planted in order to grow, you know? And but when God decides, that's when it's time to be willing and to be obedient. Amen. So that's, we need to learn to hold lightly what we value the most. So, and that's a lesson, again, like I said, that we, seems like we always constantly learn. Obedience both relies on God for strength and expects God to deliver. You can't obey God without relying on Him for the strength to do it. You know, when I think about being obedient and obeying God, the way I'm able to obey God in my own life is knowing God. You know, and when I know Him and I know His Word and I'm in fellowship with Him, it gives me the strength to do what needs to be done, because I'm expecting God to deliver. That's why Abraham was able to do what he did. Think about that. Because there's nobody in their right mind that would just immediately, he didn't have any plans. He didn't have any, like, direction. There was no, like, conversation back and forth. It was God speaking to him, telling him what he wanted him to do. And Abraham relied on strength, knowing that God would deliver. And that's what obedience does. And that's what we need to do in our own life. It's in this story, and a lot of times when we listen to that story and we say to ourselves, you know, a lot of people would ask, well, why would God, that doesn't sound like a really nice God, why would he ask him to do story? See, you know, and believe it or not, it's God's kindness that is on display in that story. See, God always wants to, he wants to stretch us. And when you're stretching and you're moving to different things in your life, it's not always comfortable. It isn't. You know what's comfortable? Knowing what you're going to do for the next 10 years and everything cozy, comfortable, perfect little plan wrapped up with a bow on it. That's comfortable. And we all want that. You know, we all want that. And you know what? God wants that for us more than we want it. You know, and that's something that we struggle with. And we all struggle with that. You know, but let me say this to you. When we seek Him first, Matthew 6:33, and His kingdom and His righteousness, all the comforts of life are added unto us. They're added unto us. And when God blesses, there's no sorrow with it. You know? We gain wealth sometimes through certain things, and it's nothing but, have you ever said to yourself, man, I wish I never even had this? Or, you know, you get a new car, so, man, I wish I never even had this thing. Because it's nothing but a pain in the neck, you know? And when we go seeking things, there's sorrow that comes with it. But when God imparts blessings into our life, there's no sorrow, there's no regret, there's none of those things. You know why? Because we could care less if we have it or we don't. Amen. And when you get to that, I could care less if I have that. Then God's like, you know what? I'm going to give that to him. Because if he doesn't have it anymore, he's not even going to worry about it. You know what I'm saying? But and that just, that becomes, listen, that takes faith, and that takes a constant fellowshipping with God, getting to know him, and surrendering your will to his will. Yes. You know, and I really believe the body of Christ in general, I really do, if we could get that concept down, and it's so much easier said than done. Believe me, people have been struggling with this for years. But if we could just get our hearts surrendered to God, I mean, completely surrendered to God, just get up in the morning, Father, I thank you that you've blessed me today. I thank you that your will be done in my life today. I look for opportunities, Father, to just share your love, your goodness, open up doors, bring people across my path. Give me an opportunity to be generous towards somebody today. If we just wake up and act like that, and begin like to, and say, Father, you're, listen, and this is what I think Abraham may have said. We get to the place in our life, God speaks to us. He asks us to do something. We don't know how he's going to do it, but we know he's going to do it somehow. You know, I don't know how God is going to do some of the things that need to be done in my life that he knows that I need. I don't know how he's going to. And you know what? I'm free. I've given up the trying to figure out how. You know, I don't need to know how. You know what I need to know? That somehow he's going to do it. That's it. And when you live, there's peace, there's freedom, there's joy. You know, and it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. And people on the outside looking in, don't ask their opinion because they're going to say, you're nuts. You know, and I'm not saying to be negligent and have, you know, just throw caution to the wind. That's not even what I'm saying here. But I'm saying to allow battle of death, I'm number one in your life. And if God's word says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that's where we need to get in our relationship with God. And we see that in Abraham. And what happened with Abraham? Because he believed God. It was accounted to him as righteousness. And God was able to bring the seed, the righteous line, through Abraham. And we're part of that. We're part of that. We have the same, we're of the same bloodline, you know, the same covenant. We are heirs of Jesus Christ through the lineage of Abraham and Isaac because of one person's obedience. And see, our obedience, we don't really sometimes understand that the effect that our obedience has on the outcome in other people's lives and what we do. Because when we're obedient, we're open for God to move us how he wants to move us. And sometimes when he moves us a certain way, we affect people. Think about that. We do. There's people that I've talked to that I didn't know I was going to talk to, but I obeyed God to do something. And then certain people came across my path that I was able to share something with. So the opposite of that is just as true. Our disobedience also has an effect on people. It really does. And you know what? God, he never gives up on us. No matter how many times we want to turn our back, and whether we're turning our back intentionally or we're allowing the cares of this world to dominate our thoughts and our actions and how we and saying, God, I can't give up control. I can't let go of this. Right now, this is comfortable. I don't want to. Everything is good. You know? And it's at those times when everything's good that God begins to rattle the cart a little bit. Because we can't get, when things are good, we get complacent. You know, think about that. When things are good, we get complacent. When things are kind of, when there's turmoil in our life, and this I'm going to talk about on Sunday, when there's turmoil in our life, it causes us to be a little more seeking and what's going on. Why are, but when everything's just comfortable, and listen, this is probably not like a word of faith message. Well, yeah, it's the truth anyway. Because here's the thing. You know, I'm not preaching doom and gloom and that life is just, but reality is that life is hard. That's reality. And I you know what? You may not agree with me with anything else I'm saying, but I'm sure everybody in this room can agree with that. That sometimes life gets hard. Life throws curveballs at us. Out of nowhere, we have situations that we weren't anticipating, you know? And right away, if we don't have the right foundation, we're going to start questioning God. Well, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Well, why me? Why me? When we should be saying, thank you, Lord, because I know you have something even better. You know, you're stretching me. So it's not thanking God for the problem. It's thanking God in spite of the problem. You're going to overcome because things are going to get better. Things are going to get stronger. You know, you're going to overcome. If we're not tested and we never have to go through a trial, then what have we ever learned? You know, so and I say that because life is full of trials. It's full of trials. It's full of trials, full of, let me say it like this. Life is full of opportunities. Amen. How about that? Opportunities. We'll call them opportunities, okay? And we can look at those opportunities as a time to complain and moan and groan and fail, or we can look at those as opportunities for God to promote us, for God to be able to pour his blessing into our life. But it's a condition of our heart. It's a condition of our heart. And our heart is right when we're right with God and we're in his word and we're fellowshipping with him. Then our heart is right. Then we look at those as seizing the moment as opposed to, oh my God, I'm going to need a lot of help here. You know what I mean? So, and so we look at that. So it's really, it's God's kindness that is on display in this story. Because back to the place, God led Abraham to Moriah, and it's God's kindness that leads us back to the place of sacrifice, where we yield to him our dreams, our desires, our plans, all of our hopes. Those are the things that God, that's like the Moriah. That's laying it on the altar for the Lord. That's surrender. You know, are we willing to say, yeah, God, I have these dreams of doing this, all these different things. Here's my plans. Here's my hopes, my desires. But here, I'm laying them down in front of your feet at the cross. Do with me. Lead me. Have your way in my life. Not my way, but your way. You know, and this story leads us, it shows us God's kindness because it leads us back to the cross. And it leads us to that place of sacrifice in our life. And when you sacrifice something, it serves as a remembrance for you. You know, when you remember. And when you remember, you can either, you know, if you follow through and you stay on God's side, it's going to be a time of rejoicing. Because you can look back and see where God took you from. You know, and I think it would do us all good to look back in our life and do some inventory of where God has provided for us. Instead of focusing just on the now and maybe the opportunity that we're not so feeling opportunist about right now, let's look back and say where, you know, well, God, I remember when you did this for me. I remember when I was struggling and you helped me through this and how you got me through here. So and it's okay to be in a valley right now. You may, and again, this we're going to talk about this on Sunday. We really are because it seems like life is about seasons. Amen. You know, they are seasons. Sometimes there's a season and where we're in a valley. And you know what? When you're in a valley, you don't have to walk around like, oh, I'm in a valley. So everybody knows, you know, you may be going through that. And that's okay. Listen, here's the good news. Valleys don't last forever. They don't last forever. But they're necessary in our lives. And you may be in that place right now. And, you know, it seems as though the message that the Lord has been speaking here in this church and even through with Scott Webb and with Darrell Copes and just even things that I've been sharing and Frank and Pastor and it's the message is restoration. Amen. You know, we are entering the season of restoration. Yes. And you know, there's a season of sowing, you know? And when you're sowing, you're not seeing anything. Right. You don't see anything. But that season is necessary to have a harvest. You know, if you plant ice, you're going to harvest wind. Absolutely nothing. So there's seasons in our life, you know, and we may have been in that season of pruning and that valley type season of our life. But know this, that restoration is coming. That season is approaching. It's definitely approaching, and I'm not some prophet standing up here, but I know it in my heart of hearts. For this church and for the people that are part of this church here, there's a season of restoration coming. And we are truly living in a time where you're either in or you're out. God's grace in that area, that season of living and not sure what I want to do, and, you know, I'll come if it's convenient. Hear me out. I'm talking to you from my heart. That is coming to an end. That door is about to close. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the flood. It reminds me of them people listening to Noah talking for so long about how there's a flood coming and them mocking him and saying, yo, man, you're crazy. We don't even know what rain is. What do you mean there's going to be a flood? Think about that. We do that for a month and we get tired. How many years did he proclaim that building the ark? You know, and all I could picture in this season that we're going to be going into of restoration is, and for believers to get in on it. Because God wants to do that in our life. There's been some tough times. There's been tough times in our church, even financially, for some years and for a season. But you know what? We've never quit. We've never given up. We've never changed the message. We've been tempted to. We've been tempted to try other means. And guess what? we always come right back to the center. Because God's will shall come to pass. And it's holding on in those tough times. And I'm already preaching my message for Sunday. But you guys are getting a jump start on it. Because it's real to me. But I picture the story of Noah. And when that sealed that door shut on the ark, that was it. There was no, you could knock all you want. You were not getting in. And that's a sobering mindset for the believers. God's grace and his mercy, they're new every morning. They're from everlasting to everlasting. However, there's a time coming where we're either going to be in the boat or we're going to be knocking on the door trying to get in. And the door just won't be open anymore. And the floods are going to come. And the people who weren't sure, and the people who mocked, and the people I pity, my heart has pity on them. We have. And empathy and compassion, because they're going to want what we have. Amen. And it's going to be a tough time. You know, and I'm talking to believers, and that's a type and shadow of the return of the Lord. But the return of the Lord is much closer than we even think. I mean, it's coming quick. There's so many things when you stop and look at the world today, it ought to make us get a little centered and a little focused and do some inventory in our lives, you know, and really get on our knees and surrender to God. Because you just see it. There's so many things that are coming together now, from our government all the way down. Worldwide, things are happening that have never happened before, because the return of the Lord is at hand. The return of the Lord is at hand. And you know what? When he comes like a thief in the night, we want to, it's like the story of the bridegroom. He invited all the guests. And once that thing started, that was it. The invitation is over now. You know, the party already began. And it's not going to be a party for those that don't know. And believers included. You know, I don't judge anything. You know what I judge? I judge my own heart. I'm a judge of myself. That's the only thing we can judge. And we should be not judging other people. Judge your own heart. Judge your heart. Because when that day of the Lord comes, I want to be prepared. I want to be ready for it. You know, I don't want to be caught doing something because I thought was more enjoyable than walking with God. You know what I'm saying? So this is where we're going as a church, and this is what God has for us individually as believers. But that season is upon us, the season of restoration. And I said all that because this is a joyous time for those that want to be part of what's happening. And you know what? We don't have to grovel. We don't have to beg, plead, or anything. We have to judge ourselves and make the change that needs to be made. That is it. And it's between us and God. You know, when God looks at our hearts, and if we're mediocre and we're half in, half out, and we're not consistent with what we're doing, we're going to get swept away. I'm telling you that right now. We're going to get swept away. Preachers, pastors, I don't care who you are, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. And God is looking for a spotless church. You know, and so there's joy in that, because God's going to start pouring out his blessings on the church. Do you understand that? The things that we've been hearing for 50, 60, 70, 100 years that people, preachers of righteousness have been preaching, that pastors have been preaching, how fortunate we are that we're going to get to see that. How many before us? I think of Smith Wigglesworth. I think of John G. Lake. I think of all of these, you know, Billy Graham even. Billy Graham. You know, how many millions of people that man has touched and brought to the Lord. And yet we're the ones now that are going to get to see that time. That time. And it's going to be a time. It's going to be the opportunity where the church shines like never before. Where that cross is on fire. People are come by here and they just can't get over what God is doing. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. And you know what? We don't want to be on the outside looking in the windows. We want to be part of it. God wants to use us. He wants the glory to manifest in our lives. You know, but it's a matter of surrendering our heart to God. And the time of contemplating and not sure, and let me try it this way, and they're mean people, and they've offended me, and, you know, my kids get sick, and I'm not sure about this, and I have a better opportunity over here. Those times, I just described myself, okay? But I think I'm speaking for us all. Those times are no more. Those times are no more. It's a time of real consecration and a real time of surrender in our lives. Amen. You know, where we throw off the works of darkness. You know, the things that slow us down. The little foxes. And really time to surrender our heart. And you know what? Don't worry about even tweaking things in your life. The first thing, the most important thing is surrender. Just get on your knees, very simple. God, I'm sorry if I haven't been fully committed. That simple. That's it. God, I am honestly sorry. I see it now. I have not been fully committed. And God, I am fully aware that once I make this commitment, I'm going to be tempted to go back to the other way. But I pray that you'd strengthen me, that I would continue to have this. I will not grow weary in well-doing. I will continue in your word. I will continue on your path, the path of life. That start with that, and then the rest of the stuff starts to fall off. It falls off. And that's really my heart for this church. That's where the restoration. That's where we're going to see the restoration coming into our lives and into this church. And you know something? The people that may have been, that have mocked it or didn't believe it, are going to see what's happening and they're going to want it. And that's going to be our time to shine. And to, out of humility and love and compassion, say, jump in, you know? But, and God's waiting to pour his spirit out on us. And that, but we have to be a church that's ready for it. His power is strong. His power is holy, you know? And we have to commit our lives to live in that way. When we're struggling with God and trying so desperately to hold on to those things that we value so much, it may not feel like God's kindness in our life, but it is. He knows better than we do that as long as we hold on, good things become idols to us. Us that become too idols, especially the good ones, those things that are not wrong in themselves, the gifts that God has given us that become too important to us, they come between us and the God who loves us. They absolutely do, and they sever our relationship. You know, if you're married or you have a you're in a relationship with someone, would you let anything? I mean, we all know I'm married, and I respect my wife, she respects me, but I respect her enough, and she wouldn't tolerate it anyway, to not let anything come to share our relationship. You know, that I am hers, and she is mine, and we have that mutual, and it's not a, things don't come between that. You know, and when we refuse or dig our heels in and won't let go of things that we value so much, that is just that example that I gave you is exactly what happens with us and God. God is a jealous God as well, and he's not willing to share us with something else that becomes an idol, you know? And those very things, they end up driving a wedge in the relationship with us and with God. When we finally have the courage to let go, when we stop trying desperately to hold on, when we open our hands to God, when we hold lightly what we value greatly, when we give back to God what was always his anyway, then and only then do we truly feel free. You know, and you know, It's not even happy, because that wouldn't be quite right, because we might not feel happy right away. I'm just being honest with you. You know, the yielding up is often very painful. It often is very painful. But know this, that when we get to that place, you see, God is so merciful to us that as far as we walk away, and I'm not saying walking away from God in a bad way. I'm talking about pursuing other things that we think are the right thing. As far as we go, God in His mercy will shut that door in your life. If we're going to be that pig-headed and thick-headed, and I know someone who was like that, okay, He's going to shut the door. He's going to shut the door. And He's going to open the ones, and He's going to humble us and say, this is what I've had for you all along. This is what I've had for you all along. And I am so thankful to God that He is patient and that He is merciful and that He is forgiving and that He never gives up on us. And He always thinks the best of us. No matter how many times we've messed up, He still thinks we're the greatest thing. He still thinks we're the greatest, you know? And so freedom comes. Free is how we feel when we yield to God. God orchestrates the affairs of life, the good, the bad, the happy, and the sad, to bring us to a place where our faith will be in Him alone. He doesn't bring sorrow into our life on purpose. Valleys come, situations happen. That's living life here on earth. But in those times, He orchestrates the good times, and He orchestrates the bad times, the happy times and the sad times, to bring us, simply to get us to a place where our faith is just in Him alone. You know? How many have said to, whether it's your spouse, your kids, or somebody, just trust me, man. Would you just trust me? Isn't there a good feeling about when someone trusts you? When you say, would you do, trust me, I'm telling you it's going to be all right. No, I don't know. Please, man, you know me. You know me. Come on, you know me, just trust me. No, I don't know. And if they don't trust you, you feel lousy. You're like, you're frustrated. You're like, are you kidding me? We know that. Please, I'm telling you, trust me. Trust me. God is saying that to us. Just trust me. Trust me. Listen, we could say trust me all we want, but you know what we can't say? I've never made a mistake. Trust me, I've never made a mistake. Because we've all made mistakes. But God says, trust me. I've never made a mistake, ever, ever, ever. I've always bat 1,000, always, always. Slowly but surely, as we go through life, He weans us away from the things of the world. And that's why I said what I said. We don't have to worry about getting the junk out of our life. You know how junk gets out of your life? When you get on your knees. That's how junk gets out of your life. It starts on your knees. Every one of us, every morning, start on your knees. Humble yourself. Father, I thank you that your word is living inside of me. I thank you, Father, that I'll be swift to listen today, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I thank you that the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. You know, I thank you that I'm in covenant with you. That's slowly but surely, when we start on our knees, He weans away from us the things of the world. At first, the process just touches our possessions, you know? Then it eventually touches our relationships. And then it touches our loved ones. And finally, it touches life itself. And then there's nothing left but us and God. So through all of this, our Heavenly Father leads us along a pathway of complete trust in Him. And that's the picture that I was trying to paint in looking at the story of Abraham and Isaac. And our life can be a life of faith just like that. Stop trusting in yourself and start trusting in the Lord. You know? Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll read that, and then we're going to close here. I hope everybody stayed with me tonight. Understand, you could see my heart, where I'm coming from, and where God wants to take us as the body of Christ, and as this as a bunch of believers here at this church. That's God's best for us. God wants his best in our life. And God's best is better than anything that anyone could give us here in this life. You know, I mean, oh my gosh. God's best is overwhelming. We can't even wrap our head around it. We really can't. And God wants his best in our lives. And the only thing that stands between his best and our lives is us. A willing heart, a surrendered heart, will receive God's best. And that's what God's going to be doing in us and through us. Because what God requires from us, he provides for us. And God requires that from us, total commitment, he will provide that for you. Abraham knew that. God required a sacrifice, and God provided it for him. Abraham didn't know how, but he knew somehow he would. And that's the same thing in our life. Is there anything in our life that is a little too precious? Could we be making an idol out of something that God merely intended to be a gift in our life? Only we know that. Only we know that. Understand, God is always at work, molding and shaping us for his purposes. This sometimes comes by sacrifice, by testing, and by trusting. That's how it comes. And when that happens in our life, we need to let Abraham's example. I talked about blueprints on Sunday. Let Abraham's example be the blueprint for our obedience, for us to follow. So has God asked us to take a knife to something? Has he asked us to put something on the altar and trust him with it? And how are we willing to respond? You know, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and I read this every day. And I read Matthew 6, 33 every day. And I read the 23rd Psalm every day. But Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. How many know that our own understanding will set us in a wrong direction sometimes? You know, and it may be a little minimal off by a little bit in the beginning, going in the wrong direction. But I use this illustration all the time. If a plane flies out of Atlantic City, heading to Florida, due at Fort Lauderdale, and they're off 2 degrees to the west, they are not going to land at Fort Lauderdale. It might not make too much of a difference flying from there to, say, Baltimore, you know. But the further you go, the further the distance in the wrong direction, the further you are from your target. So what I've learned is to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, because that'll get us off course. But seek his will. Say, seek his will. In all you do, all you do, everything we do. If you can't seek his will in everything you're doing, then maybe you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Okay? Seek his will in all that we do. And I would venture to say it would be very hard to get up and say, Father, is it your will for me to go and do blah, blah, blah that isn't necessarily good? We have a hard time. Everything that, because we know it's not his will. So everything that we do, we should be seeking his will. Is God, are you okay with this? Get used to, make a habit out of doing it, even for the small little things that just seem insignificant. Get used to just making a habit. How many things I've just done in my life just because I think that's the good thing, and I'm relying on my own understanding, and then after when it all blows up, I'm like, oh my God, I never even asked you about that. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And if you did, you may have avoided a lot of this, because I would have told you that's not the right way. You know? So make a habit of seeking his will in everything that we do. Now, I'm not talking about going to a restaurant if you want to go out to eat. I'm talking about, like, life decisions, things that may have some consequence. going to Outback or Olive Garden or Carrabba's, there's no real life-altering anything for that. You know, you ended up with pasta instead of steak. That's, you're going to be okay. I'm talking about consequences that will affect your life. Get used to seeking him. Even buying a car. Buying a car. Talk to John. Buying a car. You know, those things like that. Buying appliances in your house. I mean it. Not, you don't have to, oh God, and not wait for him to say, yes, that's the one to buy. But you know what I'm saying here. Just, it, you know what, it's more of including God in it. If he's your friend and you're fellowshipping with him, your friends know what you're doing, right? Because you're friends, you talk. Include God. Include him.
Hallelujah.
Simple, just include him.
Amen.
To beg him and ask him, should I do this? But just include him. And when you include him, and you're starting to do something that you shouldn't, or purchase something that you shouldn't, all of a sudden something's going to like, boom, 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 in your inside. You're going to be like, wait, whoa, I don't really feel right about that.
Amen.
That if you didn't include him in that decision, you would have just gone ahead with it and suffered the consequence. Right? Those are simple things. But seek ye for, or trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do.
Amen.
Will. Say, he will direct my path. He will direct my path. The Bible says in Proverbs that the path of the just is like the noonday sun that shines brighter and brighter. You know, we don't stumble around tripping over things and wasting our time injuring ourselves because we're on some path that we shouldn't be, that has no light. The Bible says that his word is a light unto my path, and a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. That's his word. So our path is smooth. Our path is smooth. We see the things that lie ahead of us. You know? And when we go through, sometimes that path may take you down into a valley. That doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. That means God is building some character in you. God is providing you with some opportunities to trust him. Don't bail off the path because it takes you down into a valley. You know, because if valleys go down, and what happens? They don't stay down, they come back up. A lot of times we bail out and we stay down there and then we take some other path. And before you know it, we're in darkness. Instead of coming back up the mountain. And that's where God wants to lead us. Amen?
Amen?
You guys come on up here. Stand up on your feet. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, you're so good to us. Lord, we trust you. Your word is living. It's life. It's health to our bodies, Father. As we apply these truths in our lives, Father, I pray for every person here that they would gain strength, that they would gain knowledge, Father, that they would understand your plan and purpose for their life. And Father, I pray for every person that we would get to a point and a place in our life tonight, right now, this very moment when we leave here and we go home, a place of surrender, Father. May we humbly drop to our knees and surrender our life to you. Father, I know that you have a huge plans for us, Father, plans to prosper us, a future and a hope, dreams, Father. And we're part of that. We thank you for the restoration that's coming here. Everything that seems like it has been taken away is going to be brought back, and not a sorrow with it, Father. For each and every one of us that seems like we've been struggling and wanting and needing, that's coming to an end. You're restoring it all back to us, Father. Because of our faithfulness, because you look at us and you see our faithfulness and you've seen our commitment to you, Lord God, and now you trust us with your blessings, Father. And I thank you, Father, that mighty things are going to be taking place in this church, in this ministry, and in all those that are committed here, Father, in the lives of the believers that are here, Father. I thank you that your ministering angels watch over and protect us wherever we go. Father, may we always be sensitive to your voice, to your leading, Father. May we include you in our daily life and everything that we do, fellowshipping with you. Father, I thank you that you make yourself real to us, that we're led by your Spirit, Father. No evil, destruction, or harm shall ever come near us. We thank you that you would receive the glory in all that's said and done tonight in our lives as we go from this place and just live our life pleasing to you. It'll be appealing to those that are around us. Father, and it'll be an opportunity for us to share your goodness, Father, your goodness and your love for them with people. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you all.